That is why the man of faith is willing to choose last. Are you getting what I'm saying? I've come to understand long ago that there's nothing that is mine that gets into another person's hands. You know, I was cracking a joke in the house this afternoon, and Joe was asking me why. You know, my son, Olubenga, was crying. And I joked, and I said, why are you crying as if somebody took your wife? I said, for your information, a man should never cry if somebody took his wife. I said, you must never cry. I'm talking to a two-year-old boy. So Joy said, sir, I don't understand. What do you mean? I said, cry over a wife that walked out by herself. I said, you must never cry. I said, if you wanted to marry and the girl's father refused and they fought you, you can cry. I said, peradventure, you were the man that was unfortunate enough to agree to marry Micah after David ran away. You understand? The son of the daughter of Saul. I said, if you're unfortunate and you now love the girl, and then David now became king and he took the woman away by force, you might cry. I said, but if a man entices away the girl he wanted to marry, I said, rejoice and be glad, because it takes away the first to establish the second. That God showed you about to marry a witch you did not know. He has shown the manifestation of witchcraft in her life. You should rejoice for the deliverance of God. They're telling me that they buy one big man. If I mention his name, one of the big governors in Nigeria. All right? Somewhere in the south. All right? They said the governor that he took away a guy's wife to be many years ago, about 12 years ago. How did he do it? The young girl traveled abroad for some time, and then the guy met her there. And first time he met her, he dashed her £5,000. They said that till today, the guy has not married. I said, he's a very foolish man. You should tell him to tune into Cosmo FM 8:30 p.m. on Monday. Let him hear the gospel. Listen, I'm a minister of faith. I will tell him the truth. He will marry the next day. What happened was that they broke. Oh, no. I understood what happened to him. Because he trusted the girl so much, you know, that kind of thing. And then a man used money, bought her away from him, and dumped her afterwards. And now the girl has married somebody else, and you are there lamenting. I said, you don't understand revelation. God just revealed to you that this girl is not as good as you thought she was. Do you get the one I say? Oh, you look at me. I told my son, I said, listen, are you crying over? Somebody took your wife? I said, forget. No, I'm not saying that women are not worth it. That's the rubbish statement. What I'm saying is that if they took your wife and the wife used leg to Wakago, you will rejoice and be glad. It's called deliverance from above. The Bible says, he that is pleasing to God will escape from her, and a sinner will be enticed. You have just shown to God you are not a sinner. Do you get what I'm saying? That is one of the first lessons God taught Abraham. And Abraham learned it and he was tested. And do you know, after that, God said, get up here, look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Everywhere you see, I have given to you. That is, the man first showed God, I have learned that thing. I'm not running after. That is, after you have learned that, God said, do you want American visa? Here it is. You want Australian visa? Here it is. You want Sudanese visa? Here it is. You want Malawi visa? Here it is. Anywhere you want to go, go now. Because first you understood that promotion does not come from the east or the west or the south, but God is judge. He lifts up one and brings down another. That's how it works. God builds you up in faith, then he can produce something in your life. And at the end of the day, look, I told that God's glory. When I say my glory, I won't share with another. God is not greedy. It's not as if only me, I like the glory. I will take it. Nobody else can get any bit of it. No. What God is saying is that, look, if Satan does it for you, go and give the glory to Satan. But I will do it for you, and then you will glorify me. Is he okay by you? When he has done it, then you cannot give his glory to another. Let me tell you, look, you know, God wrestles with people. I just, let me help you. He said, no. He said, let me help you. He will be dragging. Let me help you. Let me help you. After some time, he said, okay, go. Some of the problems people have had in life, is God wrestling with them, trying to help them. So the guy your whole heart trusted in, this man will help me. Then he disappoints. God said, don't be angry. Forgive when you come to pray. That is, take your mind away from relying on human beings. We are doing a series on radio very shortly. Why people don't receive from God. Number one reason is that they have graven images. So that when God wants to help them, when God finishes helping them, they will share the glory with another. And God said, no, I won't do that. So I take time trying to, you know, prune you of all graven images. That's why every time you are disappointed, you should rejoice and be glad. What's God doing? He's helping you to understand that if I don't help you, you will not be helped. Are you getting my point? That the only help you need in life is the one that I can give. That is why you are privileged to live in a country that all kinds of crazy things happen. So that God can show that the inheritance inside you cannot be touched by the things happening around. Do you understand my point? One of the greatest statements I heard from Bishop Oyedepo's mouth those days, he said that he used to tell God, if you will not bless me here, don't bless me anywhere. Otherwise, how will I be able to tell that my people can be saved? That is, the only person who can deliver the spirit of salvation to them is the person who is touched with the feeling of their infirmities. He says, he told God, listen, if you won't bless me here, don't bless me anywhere. I have to be able to tell my people that they can be saved. How does he do it? Let's continue. Well, I said we should open to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I mentioned something along this time last week, and this is so important, I explain it. That's when I said that something happened during the week, and it kindled my understanding there again. I said, no, this is where I'm supposed to continue from. Because Paul said, labor to enter into his rest. That is, to enter his rest is what? Labor. It's hard work that you do to get into God's rest. Is anyone that has entered his rest, that's the one that has ceased from his own works. That is, God has now begun his own work in the life of that person. Now, this is what he said. How do you get in there? I want to start reading from verse 17. Because you help me understand what I want to say. He said, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. He said, for the word of the cross. Notice what he said earlier, when we read from Corinthians chapter 1. He said that I might fulfill what? The preaching of the word of God. He's now explaining it here, that this is what Christ sent me to do, to preach the gospel. Now, it's not the cleverness of speech. He said, because if my speech is too clever and I persuade people by that cleverness, I have made the cross of Christ ineffective. He said, why? Verse 18. For the cross of Christ is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved. If you have a King James, he says, those who are saved. I like New American Standard. It gives the proper rendering. He said, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I said something earlier that you will see that it's a process. I mentioned that earlier when we were in Colossians chapter 1. And that's what he is emphasizing here. He said the preaching of the cross. That's what he's saying. When the cross is being preached, it does not appear to make any sense. But to those it is affecting, are you getting my point? It is the power of God. The emphasis there is on the word, the preaching. He said, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. He said, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Go down to verse 21. He said, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached, literally the foolishness of preaching, to save those who believe. That's something I want you to understand. It said, for the Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom. That is Gentiles. The Jews were used to the power of God. But the Greeks standing for the Gentiles, actually Greek because of their own society, but generally for the Gentiles, they search for wisdom. What is wisdom? The 12 effective keys to business development. Are you getting my point? The power of networking. 17 habits of highly effectual and successful businesses. That is, these days, a lot of preachers have been converted to preaching business principles. I am not saying they don't work, but that is not the power of Christ. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? Listen, he said, when you will get results from the word of God, when you hear that word, it will appear foolish. Before I continue reading, let me tell you my first experience with this. If you've heard me teach for a long time, you probably have heard this story. Once I was in university, I was president of my fellowship on campus at the age of 18. Most people did not know. So you can imagine that at the age of 18, I was president of a fellowship. Yet people brought all their problems to me. What is this boy going to tell you? But since he did not know how boy she was, there was no problem. One day, his sister walked up to me. I remember after fellowship, when the fellowship and the people were just milling around, she just walked up, just touched me. He said, "Sir." And when I saw her face, she had been crying the whole day. He said, "Please pray for me." I said, "About what?" He said, "I'm about to be withdrawn from my faculty." I did not even have the power to pray and say, "In Jesus' name, I declare you will not be withdrawn." Holy God, nothing. I just said, "What's your room number again?" She told me. I said, "Okay, I'll see you tomorrow." That was not for her, it was for me. So that I would go and settle down and think of what I would tell this young lady. Because as for that withdrawal, I don't know what I am going to do about it. They withdraw you after they have considered certain issues. Am I going to revert those things they considered? Now listen to this. As a young man, I went home and I prayed. I went to my hostel. So next evening, of course, she was waiting. I took my Bible. I went there, knocked on the door. I walked in, sat down. And later I found out the Spirit of God took over. Then I did not know, all right? I didn't understand some of the things I understand now. Then the Spirit of God took over. And I began to speak. I just said, "How are you?" "I'm fine." "Okay, let me just share some things with you." And then I began to speak. Now, what did I say? "As God is my witness, I can't remember." I didn't remember immediately after. I mean, but what do I remember? I remember that as I was speaking, the face that was dejected began to lighten up. He said they looked to him and were lightened, and their faces were no longer ashamed. I noticed that by the time I finished talking, this girl couldn't stop laughing. I remember that very well. It's now I understand what Paul meant, that when the Bible said that Paul was preaching and preaching, then he noticed that somebody had faith to be healed. He saw it in the guy's face and said, "Quickly, get up. You are well." You know, by the time I finished preaching, this girl couldn't hold back from laughing. I'm sure I just prayed at the end and I left. And I forgot about it. This is the foolishness of preaching. I did not tell her what to do. I did not tell her how God will do anything. I just declared the word of God, said a word of thanksgiving, and walked out. Many weeks later, she walked back to me again in fellowship and said, "Sir, I'm not being withdrawn anymore. The dean said if I do this, we'll do this, we'll repeat this course, we'll do that. Then those of us who do it effectively will be taken back into the faculty." That was the solution to the problem. I couldn't work it out. I was a student like her, just a little bit her senior. Are you getting my point? Age-wise, that time, if that girl younger than me, it would have been a miracle. That is, if it is the level of us, just ignoramuses altogether. But when I went in my capacity, because she came to receive something, are you getting my point? All I had to do was give her the word, foolishness of preaching. Foolishness of preaching. And then that thing begat results. Oh, let me not bore you with too many stories. What is God trying to tell us? That is what it means to be glorified. You get my point? I told you that God wants to glorify his son in you. And this is how he does it. Listen, if you are a Christian, you want to succeed in life, and you are not attending to the foolishness of preaching, I don't think you have any plans for success. I really don't think you do. If instead of going to hear the foolishness of preaching, you are there attending the wisdom of the Greeks, networking because the PDP executives are coming to town. Do you get my point? A man told me, I shared it with you some time ago. A man told me once that a brother was telling him something, that look, you know his plan? That he's going to use his degree, hide it. That is, he will drop his degree, walk into the house of one of the directors of maybe ExxonMobil or Shell, and take his job as a houseboy. And that he will work so hard, Absalom spirit. He will work very hard, so much that the man will be impressed. And then one day the man will come and say, "Young man, what's your story?" And he will say, "Sir, I have no man. Actually, I have a certificate. Actually, I studied engineering. Actually," and then the man will say, "What?
This happened all this while and I never knew.
And that the man will be so impressed, the man will place him in a job in that company. He said, if it takes me 4 years to achieve that, it will have been worth it. I said, tell him he has a spirit that ends men in poverty. Is the spirit of Absalom. One day we hang on a tree and a Joab will pierce him through the heart. Go and read it. That was what Absalom did in Israel. While people like Solomon were listening to wisdom, Absalom was scheming. Do you get my point? That is, Solomon will tell you that my father used to say to me, Absalom said, I shave my hair as a national event. Then at the end of the day, you know, they show up your face, and then when they come to the palace, you are there greeting the people. You're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome, you're welcome. Oh, what's your case? You are networking, you are campaigning. The wisdom of the Greek. But what brings a Solomon to the throne? The father will say, sit down. He say, yes, sir. My son, attend to my words. Yes, sir. Incline your ear to my saying. Don't let them depart from your heart. Keep them in the midst, from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to them that find them and health to their whole body. He say, yes, sir. He said, mark the path of the adulterous woman. This is how she does it. Yes, sir. Any man who does this, the man is imbibing wisdom. Is hearing words. Is hearing words. Those words we crystallize into events physically to bring him to the throne. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? What is the foolishness of preaching? That is, a man goes, and the Bible says, Jesus said it like this. He said, the poor has the gospel preached to them. Why is this man not laboring hard? He said, first, I must labor to enter into rest. Until then, he that labors, labors in vain. Are you getting what I'm going to say? He said, it is vain for a man to rise up early to go to bed late because he gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. He said, I must get to a place where God will give to me even while I'm sleeping. How do I get there? Paul said, this is how it goes. Oh. There is a foolishness called preaching. Oh, no wonder. He told Timothy. He said, give attention to the reading of scripture. That is, as long as people are hearing the word, they can never fail in life. Are you getting the point I'm making? I told you last week. Let me say it again. I've said this one before. Let me first say this and I'll tell you what I said last week. I know in this life, I am too connected. You know, I said this many years ago. It's getting shorter and shorter every day in my heart. I said in this life, I am too connected. And let me tell you the reason, which is what I said last week. Say, God has given me a privilege in life. You know what's the privilege? I am a minister. I don't mean I'm a preacher. There are many preachers that don't minister jack. Their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame. You know what somebody's glory is his shame? Things that he should be ashamed of, he brags about it publicly. So when I say I'm a minister, I mean that God has given me the privilege to serve the power to excel and succeed in life to people. And it's not possible, even if it's only one out of 10 lepers that remembers the man who cleansed them, I will be remembered. Do you get what I'm saying? When I said I'm connected, what I meant was that I see many young people who physically speaking don't amount to anything listening to me. And I know that my wisdom is drawn from afar. It's not common wisdom. It's not popular wisdom. It is the wisdom of God. I'm persuaded about that. I'm not joking about it. My wife said something I've quoted many times. He said, when people talk about backsliding, it has never crossed my mind about you. Because I'm not aware you live for anything else. That is, even my wife knows. Mike Mundog said that if your friends don't know your passion, you don't have one. So my wife knows that I have sold my life to declare this gospel. It shows I believe it. You are getting my point? So I know what I am saying. I know it will come to pass. Therefore, I said I'm very connected. I know that great men that I'm not doing a club of networking, you know, like, okay, Kingdom World Associates Business Group. So please buy from each other so that you can multiply each other's businesses. No. What do? Every Saturday, I engage in foolishness further. The foolishness of what? Preaching. And I know that as God lives, the word that is going out is creating in the lives of people. One of the greatest testimonies, I've heard many of them, but one that I heard in recent times, well, the one I referred to you, that the young man wrote me, they called me and said, "Sir, your book impregnated my wife," literally, physical pregnancy. "That my wife read your book, The Law of Life, and she became pregnant physically." It reminded me of what Bishop Oyedepo said a little long ago. He said that he believes, now it doesn't sound like a joke, but he said that, look, he believes that you hear that women say that they have not been able to get pregnant. He said, "Are you living with your husband?" He said, "I don't understand." He said, "Because if I was a woman, I wouldn't even need a husband." He said, "I remember that day when he was saying it in church." He said that the Bible said that the Spirit of God will overshadow Mary. He said, "It's still happening." Even if you don't take it to the extreme that he will not need a man, what he's saying is still effective. Do you get my point? That the Spirit of God overshadows people and brings out something that people did not expect. One of the things I quote for my students when I'm teaching, because as a doctor in life, you must learn to give hope to people. You shouldn't take from them. Remember I told you a story once that a friend of mine told me that Banky had killed somebody. I said, "How did you do it?" I told him he was going to die, and he died. I've summarized the story. He told the man, "Put your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Next time he saw the man had become critically ill. The first time he saw the man was ill, but not so bad. Then he made his diagnosis of the problem he had. He had a cancer, actually. And told the man, "You have cancer of the liver, and you will die shortly." Less than a month after, the man was dead. The first day he saw the man walked from work to his office. So he called me and said, "I think I killed that guy. How did I do it?" I told him he was going to die, and he died. I heard another story. This was on Discovery Channel, of the doctor who said that he told a man like that. The man progressed in his disease as he said he would and died as he predicted, except that after he died, an autopsy revealed that there was nothing wrong with him. It was on Discovery Channel. So the person intervened and said, "So what do you do now?" He said, "Oh, I never tell people the bad side anymore." He said, "Okay, what will you do if you see a patient who's really sick, critically sick, and the facts are that maybe 90% of the people will die within a year?" He said, "I will tell him that 10% live beyond a year." Do you get my point? That's what, look, that I will give him hope. So I tell my students, look, learn to give hope to your patients. Hope. One of the things, the story I'm always going to tell you is that normal sperm count for men, they're supposed to be normal. 20 million and above, 40 actually per mil is about the average. That's okay, but 20 million is accepted as normal. 20 million. I read an article and they said a man was demonstrated. The title of the article is "Demonstrated Paternity in Spite of Severe," and I'm putting the word severe, "Oligospermia," which means that they said that this man had, instead of 400, everywhere you expected 400 as the lower limit of normal, he had one. His sperm count was 50,000. Lower limit of normal was 20 million. So much that they published it in one of the top journals on fertility in the world. They didn't give us the other side of the story. They never do. I wanted to ask the man, "Which miracle did you pray about?" Because I know the Holy Spirit, like Bishop said, still overshadows people. So that which will be conceived, people will know that it's of the glory of God. Are you getting my point? That is the foolishness of preaching. Listen, in fact, you know what? I feel highly anointed. I feel highly effective. I don't even want to teach you. If you want to hear knowledge of scripture, come on Monday. If you want Bible study, come on Monday. On Saturdays, it's just foolishness of preaching. I will talk the most disjointed sermon that you might succeed in life and you will know it's of the glory of God. Don't be surprised if I preach to you how to wake up late and sleep early. And you wake up at 5, pray in the Spirit for 1 hour, study for 1 hour, listen to one whole, two way of success messages, and go late to work. And once you are feeling uncomfortable, get up to go and listen to another message. foolishness of preaching. No, I remember one day, this is just by the way. I have not listened to a message for some time. In fact, you know, No. I think about something. I said, God, no. I realize I get a problem. We have to reorder some things. Because then, this one, for maybe like for 3-4 days, I had not listened to a message or a week. And that day, I literally was uncomfortable. I was virtually trembling. So I called my friend. I said, Femo, any tips? I need a tape. Anyone? I need one now. I'm Jonesy. You know what drug addict is called? Jonesy. I'm having withdrawal symptoms. So the guy stood, started reading out the tapes. He has this one. He said, I've listened to that one. I want another one. He said, okay, I have Born to Tizzy Grips by Mike Murdock. I said, okay, let me have them. So we ran down to his house. Then there was one small car, my cousin's one I borrowed. The car didn't have a tape player, but I had a Walkman. Inside the car, I put the tape, put it beside me in the Walkman, and plugged my ears and was driving. I was going somewhere in Ikeja. There was one clinic I was working there. I got there, all right? Finished one tape, listened to the other one before my body cooled down. So like that was close, this devil. I wanted to steal the word. I don't catch him back. Give me my word. Listen. When you get to that level in life, that you esteem his word more than your necessary food, that is sign to you that you can never fail on the surface of this earth. That is the foolishness of preaching. I said that what God wants to do. Do you know that Paul was not talking about divine health? I think. When the crippled man suddenly received the light and became well. I told a man called me once that he listened to the way of success and began to believe in God. You have listened also. What did I ever say to persuade you that there is God? The foolishness of what? Preach. Look, when I say I'm connected, I know. In fact, I don't think I know how connected I am. Because whatever I can imagine, now is far inferior to the degree of connection that I really have. Yes. Let me tell you the truth. Men will, that is, they will be falling over themselves, men and women, to do me favors in this life. I know what I'm saying. Because I told you before, you can't give God thanks in your room and say, Father God, I just thank you. That is cheap thanksgiving. You know what real thanksgiving is? You will remember how God brought effects in your life. What am I going to say? That is, the word I am preaching, I am so sure of it now, that let Yar'Adua die if he wants, and let PDP postpone the election indefinitely. You listening to me will not be affected. You will never fail. If PHCN decides to hold the power totally, it is so as to create vacuums for people who I'm preaching to build the power companies. Are you getting my point? Let oil dry in the ground. The power of the words that I am now, I know what I'm saying. It is so as to make people create vehicles that don't need oil. But that the word of God will not produce in the lives of the people I preach to, it is too late for it to happen. Not one jot. Are you getting my point? Not one jot. Will never fail. God said that word, it won't go anywhere. It will be, you know, I have preached so much in this my little life, that Nigeria can't break, this earth cannot even come to an end yet. Where will the word go? God said it cannot return until it is fulfilled. So there is enough power in the air keeping everything stable so that the glory of God might be manifested. You see why I'm connected? You get what I'm going to say? You know, I almost made one foolish decision. I had learned so much, you know, by preaching, by reading and all that, that I said, let me show some things to people. I told my wife, this year, I will join you in doing business. All of you are laughing. Thank you. Thank you for laughing. It's a very foolish decision. A very stupid thing to think about from banking. Are you getting my point? It's like me saying I want to release an album. It's not funny. See how you're all laughing. So, you know, I don't even know. When I just speak and I was for Chambers, I read one paragraph. I can't remember what he said. And usually you won't remember such times. All I know is that at the end, I said, God, did I say that? I said, I'm very sorry. I won't do it again. How could I have thought about that? I said, no, all that energy, you know what I'll use it for? The foolishness of preaching. Where I will have labored and made a 1,000 naira. Listen, I will preach and 1,000 people will make a 1,000,000 naira each. That is what is called grace. I have become more effective. That's why I say in this life, I am connected. Nigeria cannot make me unconnected. Are you getting what I'm going to say? But this is my message. That God wants to glorify himself in your life. And he said, there's only one way I do it. The foolishness of what? Preaching. Listen. Instead of rushing out early in the morning to go and get connected to a human being, wake up early in the morning. You know one of the reasons why I like Way of Success? See this, all right? Now, me the preacher, so I can tell you this. Oh, you are listening to it, you can also be a witness. It's 30 minutes rapid results college. You know what I say? Back, 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 back. Deliver it almost without breathing in between. 30 minutes and it's up. I like that kind of one. That is, in the morning, just stand in front of the deck like this. Close your eyes. And fight. Look, listen, listen. That day, life will respond to you. 30 minutes, hot, uninterrupted. All the Satans will miss. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, that is how life works. So, when you will have run to go and be making connections, and then listen, connections will be calling your house. Shane, right now, you're the one calling everybody. You know, only scratching card. Good morning, sir. Yeah, you said I should call you, sir. Is there anything happening, sir? And your boss are still waiting. Shane, that is your situation now. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Right now, instead of calling, anytime the idea comes to your mind to call, listen to 5 minutes of preaching. Hear the word of God for a few minutes. Then this is what, now listen, I'm preaching now. This is what will happen to you shortly. At a point in time, you will have to get another line so that people will not know that one exists because of the fact that the other line won't stop ringing. Those you were calling before will now be the ones calling, one after the other. I told the testimony of a friend of mine. He sat down Jeje in Enugu. And one of the biggest men of Nigeria phoned him and said, hello. I'm so and so. I was given your number by this person. Like, really me? You are calling me? The man said, can we see tomorrow night? I said, yes, sir, no problem. You're in Lagos, I'm in Enugu, but does it make any difference? Tomorrow evening, I'm in your house. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So when I told you that this is what will begin to happen to you, believe me, I gave that to you as a testimony because it has happened before. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What is God trying to do in all of these things? He wants to glorify Jesus Christ. That is, this man became something. I like one thing, Bishop. You know, Bishop blessed my life so much. That's why you hear me call some people a lot. He said, God said it like this, follow me and I will make you. That is, you were nothing before, I will make you. If you follow me, it does not matter what you were not before, I will make you. Then one day I read the scriptures and I remember that Samuel told Saul, he said, were you not nothing in your own eyes, yet God made you. I said, so the nothingness of yourself in your own eyes right now does not mean anything. God will, not can, but will. Because you see, I told you before, God does not just brag about what he can do, but what he will. Do you get what I say? When God talks about himself, when he said, my glory I won't share with another, it doesn't mean that you say, I made Jupiter, nobody was there. If he did not make Jupiter, dear Lord, I would not have missed Jupiter. You know, all this thanksgiving, Father, I thank you, you that created Pluto. Dear Father, remove Pluto, I won't lose one night's sleep. You made all the galaxies. Maybe the galaxy is good, but I can't realize it. No, I'm telling you. You want to appreciate God? God doesn't want to say, oh, dear God, you know, oh, the scientists tell us that there are 100 billion galaxies. You, God, the creator of galaxies, how great thou art. Even God is bored without praise. When David danced in front of the ark, and Micah complained about the fact that he overly exposed himself, what did he say? He said, was it not before God who made me king in place of your father? It wasn't that the God that created Pluto. That is, you know who I'm dancing before? The person who did something tangible in my life that I felt and you too noticed. Are you getting my point? That is, I'm telling you what God will do. All this we are saying, he will do it. What does he want to do? That's how he gets glory. Let's not fool ourselves that you see God, if God wants glory, he'll just go create another Jupiter. You know, on the earth, network news will not, what's it called, CNN will report that one new planet was sighted, and that's the end of it. Nobody will rejoice. Nobody will rejoice. No, nobody will rejoice. But what makes a man, a woman break into rejoicing? God said, I am the one that make barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. To the barren woman, remove 2 million galaxies. She does not care. Give her one son, she will sing psalms. You are getting my point? Let me close my message, please. I don't want to take too long. I said last week, settle down and dream. Dream uselessly wild and big dreams. And then wake up and listen to the foolishness of preaching. That the gospel of Christ may be described by your life. That Jesus might be glorified in your life. That's my message for today. I have nothing else to say. Let us pray.